We continue our reading of Luke's Gospel. We are at chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Luke has often been described as the Gospel within the Gospel. Jesus tells three parables about lost things being found: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons, which we'll talk about next week. This morning, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, let us hear the word of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Fred Craddock, who was an excellent preacher and teacher of preachers at Emory University, tells a great story about growing up with his sister on the farm and playing hide and seek. And he says, after recounting all the official rules of hide and seek, which I'm assuming you remember, he says his sister always cheated. And every time she was it, she would cheat when she counted to 100. And he says, he tells the story this way. He says she would start off honestly enough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 93, 94. He says, "But I had a place under the porch and under the steps of the porch where she couldn't find me. And because of my size, I could get under there, and I knew she'd never find me. 99, 100, here I come, ready or not." And here she came in the house, out of the house, in the weeds, in the trees, down to the corn crib, in the barn. She couldn't find me. I almost gave myself away down there under the porch steps, snickering to myself. "She'll never find me here. She'll never find me here." And then it occurred to me, she'll never find me here. So after a while, I'd stick out a toe. And when she came by and saw my toe, she'd say, "I see you," run back, touch the base three times and say, "Ha, you're it." And I would come out brushing myself off, saying, "Oh, shoot, you found me." Then Craddock, the preacher, thinking about that story, writes this. He said, "You know, what did I want? What did I really want? Well, the very same thing as you. Isn't that true?" And he kind of leaves that hanging there. But the meaning is clear, that what he and you and I most want is to be found. But before we can be found, we must first do the much harder thing, which is simply to admit that we're lost to begin with, that we need finding. And that doesn't come easily to most of us. I mean, we are raised up from the cradle to believe that we are to be the masters of our own destiny, captains of our own fate, that our lives are what we make them to be. No one else. We are large and in charge. And, you know, some of us are even able to keep up that illusion well into middle age, or old age if we're particularly stubborn. But most of us eventually figure out it is an illusion, this idea that we're large and in charge. It gets knocked out of our lives, gets knocked out of us eventually, and usually sooner than later. I remember in my 40s, I read Dante's Inferno, and this is the opening line. "Midway along the journey of our life, I woke to find myself in a dark wood, for I had wandered off from the straight path. He got lost. Sounds like a midlife crisis. And I was in my 40s. But that sense of being lost, of being off track, it's something we can find within ourselves at any age. That sense of needing to be found. I mean, think back. You remember experiences of being lost as a kid, how scary that could be. I remember we moved when I was in elementary school, and it was only like two blocks, but I had to walk home a whole different route, and none of the streets were straight. And I remember that first day walking home from school being absolutely lost, and no cell phones back then, not at all sure how I could be found. I remember in high school, I was part of a group of Key Club members who were helping park cars with the Kiwanis Club before the high school football game. And my friends quit early without telling me, went into the stadium to get their seats. I, of course, was a very responsible young man. I stayed and finished the job. When I finally saw that they were gone, however, I had no idea where they were. And I remember going into the stadium trying to find them. I remember walking back and forth down by the cheerleaders, looking up at the stands, hoping to see a friendly face, and I couldn't find them. And they didn't or wouldn't call out to me. And I remember feeling so lost and so alone and so wanting to be found. I remember my mom in the months after my father died. My dad, those of you who remember him, he was 6'4", built like a linebacker. He was a large presence in that small house, but he was also a man who was very large with love and laughter, which just filled and overflowed that house. And then suddenly he was gone. And I remember the first time Ann and I went back after the funeral, a few months after the funeral. And my mom had TVs on at each end of the house. And they were on full volume. And it wasn't because she didn't want to miss one second of whatever show was on. It's just she was trying to fill up the empty space that my father had left behind. And she was, for a good while, lost, needing to be found. So, what's your story? Being lost, wanting to be found, needing to be found. What was that moment, or what was that season in your life when the illusion of being strong and in charge was stripped bare, when suddenly you could see what you could not see before, that we're not as strong as we pretend, that we're not as safe as we've imagined, that we're more vulnerable to hurt and disappointment than we had hoped, that we're more fragile and dependent in mind and body than we have wanted to consider. When we at last realized, in maybe even a soul-changing sort of way, that when it comes down to this great drama of life, what most of the time we are really doing is just reacting to things. We're just kind of ad-libbing, winging it the best that we know how. Because we're not as in control as we think. And that we are somewhat at a loss when it comes to these big issues of living and certainly of dying. And that what we really need, most of us, is to be found. But who's out there looking for us? And who are we counting on to come and find us? Biblically speaking, all of humanity speaking, this problem of our lostness, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. To that moment when we decided we weren't going to do things God's way anymore. We were no longer going to just trust that His way was best and that He had our best interests at heart. That moment when we said to ourselves, we're going to make our own decisions. We're going to choose our own course. We're going to set our own rules and priorities and goals and values. The Bible says that the very moment Adam and Eve did that in our place, that instantly their eyes were opened. That sounds like a good thing, but That's not how the story goes. It turns out it was anything but a good thing. It was not like, "Eureka, at last I see the truth, I'm enlightened." It was something far darker. Their eyes were open, meaning that suddenly they saw what fragile creatures they were. Suddenly they saw how difficult and threatening life can be without God watching over you. Suddenly they saw how lost and lonely life can be when once you've decided to ignore God and think we know better than God. Adam and Eve, overwhelmed by what they could now see. And this is the really pathetic part. All they could think of to do was get some fig leaves, sew them together, make some breeches, as if fig leaves would ever prove sufficient to protect them from being lost, needing to be found. But let's not laugh at them, because it's the same way we sew together things like bank accounts and insurance policies and nice houses and nice cars and social media status, as if any of that was ever going to prove sufficient to keep disorder, to keep death at bay. We're lost. We need to be found. You know, like a sheep that's wandered from its fold, or a coin that's fallen behind a chest of drawers, lost, needing to be found. That's where it all begins, the getting found part. It all begins and can only begin when we are ready at last to admit that we are lost and need to be found. That's where it all begins, this being rescued, being saved. Because when we can at last admit that we are lost and need to be found, it's the very moment at last when we become able to discern that there actually is someone who is looking for us. There is someone who wants, maybe even more than we do, that we should be found. God. God. Because that's what these two little stories Jesus tells about a lost sheep and a lost coin tell us about God. That he is in the business of searching out what is lost. He's in the business of finding it and bringing it home again, making it safe again, making it treasured again, giving it joy again. In fact, God in the Bible starts searching for us the very moment Adam and Eve decide to get lost. And you remember how that story continues. After Adam and Eve sin and get themselves lost and in need of being found, God comes down to the garden in the cool of the day to walk with them, as was their daily custom. But Adam and Eve, so lost, hear God coming and are terrified by what they've been done. They've barely got their fig leaf breeches properly adjusted before they're diving down beneath the bushes, hiding. And you remember God? Do you remember what God then says? Calls out, "Where are you? Where are you?" And then he goes looking until he finds them. I mean, you could really say at this point that this scene basically sums up the whole story of the Bible which follows, the whole story of human history that follows. We getting lost and God crying out, "Where are you?" God searching for all of his children who have gotten lost and are in need of being found. I mean, that's why he sent us Jesus. The whole point of it. I mean, what is the incarnation if not God having counted to 100, now coming down to earth himself to find us? What is his word to us, those things Jesus said to us, if not a roadmap on how to get found? And what is his death and resurrection if not God creating a way out of nowhere? A way by which, once found, we will come home again to where we belong. and to where we are safe, and to where we will remain forevermore. Our God is a searching God. He's not just sitting up there in heaven hoping we're going to come to our senses and find our way out of the woods. He's down here in the daily presence of His Holy Spirit searching for us. Our God is a searching God. We talk sometimes, and should we say a little boastfully considering our circumstances, we talk sometimes about how we are searching for God, how we are on a spiritual journey as if we had any clue as to where we are, where we are going, where we're supposed to go. But in any case, the truth is it's not our search for God that matters anyway. It's not our spiritual journey that's going to get us home. It's God's search for us that matters. It's God's journey into this world to find us, which is the only thing which gets us home. It's God and Jesus coming into this world to seek out and find what is lost, to journey up and down all the hills and vales until at last He finds all of the hiding places we've made. Like a shepherd searching. Like a shepherd searching. Note this little word well. A shepherd searching until at last he finds that lost sheep. Places that lost sheep tenderly upon his shoulders and heads home. Or like a woman turning her house upside down, and there's that word again, until she has found that lost coin. It's God. It's His search for us that matters. And the good news of the gospel is that we have a God who has come to this earth in search of us, and that He will not stop looking for us, calling us by our names until at last we are found, until at last He has rescued us, enfolded us in His embrace, and led us home, where we will dwell with Him in joy forever, in peace forever, without hurt or worry or sickness or shame forever. Catholic priest and writer Henry Nouwen, that wonderful spiritual guide, he wrote these words toward the end of his life. It's really a summation of his experience. He says, "For most of my life, I have struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I've tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life, pray always, work for others, read the scriptures, and to avoid the many temptations to dissipate myself. I have failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. But now I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time, God has been trying to find me, to know me, and to love me. And the question is not how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by Him? The question is not how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is not how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me, longing to bring me home. God is the shepherd who goes looking for His lost sheep. God is the woman who lights a lamp, sweeps out the house, searches everywhere for her lost coin until she has found it. It might sound strange, but God wants to find me as much as, if not more than, I want to find God. Which reminds me of another story about a game of hide and seek. And this one comes from Robert Fogelman in his classic, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten, the same book Lydia read to us from on Youth Sunday. And here's the story. He says, in the early dry dark of an October Saturday evening, The neighborhood children are playing hide and seek. How long since I played hide and seek? 30 years? Maybe more. But I remember how. I could become part of the game in a moment if invited. But adults don't play hide and seek. Well, not for fun, anyway. Too bad. Did you have a kid in your neighborhood who always hid so good nobody could find him? We did. I mean, after a while, we would give up on him and go off, leaving him to rot wherever he was. And sooner or later, he would show up all mad because we didn't keep looking for him. And we would get mad back because he wasn't playing the game the way it was supposed to be played. There's hiding and there's finding, we'd say. And he'd say it was hide and seek, not hide and give up. And we'd all yell about who made the rules and who cared about who anyway, and how we wouldn't play with him anymore if he didn't get it straight. Hide and seek and yell. Well, no matter what, though, next time he would hide too good again. He's probably still hidden somewhere for all I know. As I write this, the neighborhood game goes on, and there's a kid under a pile of leaves in the yard just under my window. He has been there a long time now, and everybody else is found, and they are about to give up on him over at the base. And I consider going out to the base and telling them where he is hiding. And I thought about setting the leaves on fire to drive him out. Well, finally, I just leaned out the window and yelled, "Get found, kid!" Scared him so bad, he probably wet his pants and ran home to tell his mother. But so say I to all those who have hid too good. Get found, kid. Get found. We are, all of us, different points along the way, and certainly ultimately speaking, we're lost, really. We need to be found. But the good news of the gospel is that God has come down to this earth searching for us, and that he will not stop searching for us until every last one has been found. Like a shepherd searching through the night for that one lost sheep. Like a woman moving heaven and earth and all the furniture in between to find that one lost coin. So, if today or tomorrow or someday you were to hear him calling out your name, calling out to you just as he did to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" I think what Jesus is telling us this morning is simply this. Get found, kid. Get found. Let him find you and rescue you. Bring you home where you belong. Because when he does, the party, the joy, his and ours, it will be never ending. Get found, kid. Get found. Amen.